Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're going to continue to discuss the earthquake and the Christmas tsunamis and the devastating aftermath and the death toll now. It continues to climb. Every country that reported dead has increased the number of dead that they have found, and it continues to grow in the most devastating way. And we like to talk about the implications of this and the Christian understanding of tragedies like this. And we've mentioned on the show yesterday, and I'll repeat it again, a quote from a woman in India as reported by Reuters. A woman in India said, "Why did God do this to us?" Now, of course, this woman, she'd be a Calvinist, except that she's a Hindu. Right? If she weren't a Hindu, she'd be a Calvinist. And if depending on how you limited the conversation, you might think she's a Calvinist. She's a pagan. And a lot of Christians think that it's especially spiritual or Christian to think that every filthy thing, every perversion, every absurdity, every inanity, every stupidity was first brought to pass in the mind of God. That everything that occurs, occurs as a command that flows from the mind of God. And that's blasphemous. That's not true. Yet millions of Christians believe that. That there's not a maverick molecule in the universe. That everything is God's plan. And that is not true. If a building falls and kills people, as happened around the Indian Ocean, is that God's plan? Was it because maybe they were the greatest sinners who ever lived? Well, Jesus sort of addressed that. Right? In the four Gospels, we read Jesus addressing that issue. A building falls, kills people. Is that because they were sinners? They're being judged by God. So maybe we'll get to that. Maybe we'll talk about those verses later in the show. Our phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So you have callers to different shows today, like Dennis Prager on Salem Radio. And he's not a Christian. Salem Radio was a Christian station. It's gone public, the largest Christian network in the country. And now it has a number of hosts who are not Christian. And while they're somewhat conservative, they really undermine the gospel in a lot of significant ways. Like Michael Medved, interesting to listen to, and conservative on some issues. Dennis Prager, others. But caller to Dennis Prager was a Catholic, and he asked, "Did God make this earthquake?" And he stated, and Dennis really liked his call, and he stated that God's wisdom is higher than our wisdom. God's ways are higher than our ways. And that's true. They are. But they're not lower. They're not lower than our ways. So that if some criminal abducts and tortures a young girl, rapes her, kills her, to say that all came to pass because it flowed from the mind of God is making God not higher than us, but lower than us. It's attributing the worst of human nature to our Creator, our holy God. And God is holy. He's not filthy. He's not the fount of all filth, as many Calvinists make God out to be. And, they say that the foundation of Calvinism, that everything, there's all kinds of versions of Calvinism, the 5 points of Calvinism, but they say the foundation of it is God's sovereignty. But that's not true. That's not the foundation of Calvinism, because there's something way more fundamental that they claim about God that is where their theology rests and begins. And that's, they say that God is immutable. That's a pagan Greek concept, that God cannot change in any way, that he's impassible, he has no emotion, that nothing could affect God, your prayers cannot move God's hand, your love cannot touch his heart, he has no emotion, right? He's not like the true living God of the Bible. He's like the stagnant God of the dead idol, the stone idol, that cannot be touched, cannot be changed. Your prayers cannot reach him. Your worship cannot move him. Millions of Christians believe that God is like that. Not the living God, as the Bible presents him, the living God, not the relational God that desires a relationship with his children, but a God who cannot be touched in any way. And so that kind of God is more like a metaphysical equation or a freak. He's not like the loving, personal, relational God that the Bible tells us, reveals to us, that he exists. So you have the Calvinist Christian saying that God did this. You have the Catholic saying God did this. You have the Jewish person saying God did this. I heard this all in the media just in the past week. You have the Hindu saying God did this. This is not a super spiritual Christian view. This is an ancient pagan view that neo-Aristotelians that believed in fate. It's fate, right? Romeo and Juliet were star-crossed lovers. That's what Shakespeare wrote in his introduction to the play. They were star-crossed lovers. In other words, it was written in the stars that this was their fate. And Oedipus Rex, it's fate. And so the Christians have adopted this pagan fatalistic worldview. They call it providence, but hey, the ancient pagan philosophers called it providence. They wrote On Providence, was one of their writings, that God has predestined and it's all foreknown. The future is already known. And since God cannot change in any way, then the future cannot change. Otherwise, God would break because he can't change. But can God change? Is God able to change? Is he able to change? And does he change? And does the Bible present God as changing or as unchangeable? Our phone number here is 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. That's 800-8-NYART. So in Thailand, the number of dead has gone up to 1,700. In Indonesia, it's gone up to 42,000. In India, now India is thousands of miles away from the earthquake. In India, it's gone up to 7,000 dead. In Sri Lanka, to over 22,000 dead, so that the total number now is 100,000 dead and perhaps the majority children. It's just so devastating. When I did the sermon Sunday morning, 20 hours after the earthquake at Denver Bible Church, the death toll had been increasing by 500 an hour, and it had been 7,000. And it was so devastating. When I started on that sermon, 4 o'clock Sunday morning, changing the topic to the Christmas tsunamis, I had saw the number grow from a few thousand to 7,000. And it's interesting that in our human experience, in our concern and love for others, in our empathy, the amount of pain, the emotional pain you feel when it's 3,000, it grows to 7,000, it grows to 23,000 to 42,000. Then it goes from 42,000. You don't watch the news for a day and a half. And you hear it's 100,000. And the pain that you feel, the empathy, you can't even match the level of pain you felt when you first heard it was 3,000. Like, it's just the number. And the number just keeps growing. But you can't match the emoting. You can't emote the way you did at first. Right? So if it went to 8 million, would we experience that much more personal sorrow? Actually, we wouldn't. And is that a deficit somehow? Is something wrong with us? No, it's not. But what it does show is the exaggeration of the atheist when they talk about the problem of pain. And since there's so much suffering in the world, how can there be a God of love? That's a bit of an exaggeration regarding pain and suffering. Because if your child drowned in a pool, as one person drowns, your pain and suffering, the anguish would be unspeakable. It'd be far greater than hearing that 100,000 have died on the rim of the Indian Ocean, right? It's because of how close the person is to you. And many of us say, I'd rather it be me than my child, which is true. And so the suffering is really one person's suffering. So the problem of pain, each person suffers so much and then they die. And just because I might die in the state of suffering does not mean that a God of love cannot exist. I have to be a little bit smarter than that. So we're going to go to the phones. First, we'll go to Florida and then Colorado. So let's go to line 14 here. Chris, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Merry Christmas, Bob.
This voice I recognize immediately.
Oh, you do?
Chris,
okay.
Garner, how are you, Chris?
Good, how you been, Bob?
Good, dear friend from my childhood, really. Chris, and you and I grew up in New Jersey, and we talked a couple times on the air. Welcome
okay.
back to the show.
Good, how you been? How you feeling?
Doing great, thank
you. I understand it sounds like your voice is back.
Pretty much.
Yeah, good.
Thank
good.
You.
I understand you're talking about the earthquake.
Yeah, that's right. Now it's 100,000 that are said to be dead.
100,000 now?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that. I heard that, too, yeah.
It's devastating.
And aid is pouring in from around the world, especially from the United States.
Right. America, by far, is the greatest giver of charity and aid.
That's right, yeah.
Of any country in the world. And, you know, the UN says we're stingy, and they say our annual budget is only $10 billion.
Yeah, that's 40% of what everybody else gives, I think.
That
the president came out and said that today.
Yeah, right. $10 billion a year. But you know what, Chris? That's just what the government gives.
Right.
If you look at what we give as individuals,
exactly, yeah. Right.
We give $30 billion a year in addition. We give three times more than the government gives.
Yeah.
So when we look at the French, you know, what do they give? 1.3 million.
Well, we're not bad for a bunch of infidels, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, the French, it's a measly little economy. I just wish the French would give half of what they stole from the Iraqi people.
You're right.
From the
oil for food scandal, right?
Yeah, from,
that's right.
Right.
You know, the fellow, that the member of the UN that said the United States was stingy has since retracted that comment.
Yeah, the undersecretary for aid at the UN.
I think so. I think he was from either Norway or Sweden. Or
his name is England.
Norway.
Yeah,
from Norway.
Yeah.
Yeah. He since retracted that when the heat got on him, so he since retracted that.
Yeah.
So, but the this has been this has just been devastating. We've had we support a couple of missionaries in India with my church, and I don't know I haven't heard anything from them about how they've been affected by it, but I'm
right.
Sure
that, and people along the coast, obviously, India has a billion people or so.
Right.
And so 7,000 have been killed and thousands more injured and tens or hundreds of thousands homeless.
Right, right.
But
it seems that because there's so many along the coast, it's the closer the coast you get in India, the poorer they are.
Right.
It seems. That's what it seems to me. And
Well, there's so much poverty to go around. But
right.
Yeah, and a lack of prosperity.
Right.
And, you know, it's Judeo-Christian principles that most help people become wealthy.
Yeah, that's true.
The freedom, the justice of the Bible, the work ethic. Instead of, Eastern mysticism, if you mortify your body, you bury yourself in the sand and let bugs crawl around your head, and that means you're close to God.
Right, right.
Whereas in the Bible, you work the land, you work your field, you build homes, you plant vineyards, you harvest, and while you're doing that, you can worship God.
Right, right.
See the difference?
Yeah, right. That's the freedom we have in Christ. Is especially in the like you say, the Eastern mysticism. It's basically there's no freedom. It's really more bondage than anything else.
Yeah, and
bondage to trying to reach God on a certain plateau and working your way up.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if you're reincarnated, you come back as a higher caste or a higher, higher species.
Yeah, the untouchables in India, the gross racism that the media, Hollywood, they don't criticize the Hindus, do they?
No, for the despicable
treatment of the untouchables. That should be a major issue, but the media doesn't care about that,
of course.
Because they're pagans.
Hating America.
Right, because they're pagans. They're not Christian.
They don't find. I was one of the things. If you think you're talking about Hollywood, my boys always point out if there's a movie on with Alec Baldwin, they point out Alec Baldwin, kind of just to irritate me.
Yeah, right.
And But he has a brother that's a believer now.
Yeah.
Stephen, I think it's Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah, and he seems to be a pretty neat, committed Christian.
Yeah, he's doing a lot for the youth. He had a movie out on with skateboarding and things like that, and it supposedly had a big effect on the youth that he's ministering to.
Yeah.
But he was warned. He was warned by Alec, because Stephen apparently went to the Republican convention.
Yeah.
And Alec warned him, well, they're only using you, you know?
Right.
And I said, well, what did the Democrats do with Ron Reagan Jr.?
You mean the old underwear salesman? No, what did he sell underwear, make commercials for an underwear company?
Who's that? Ron Reagan Jr.?
Yeah. He was a model, an underwear model.
No, he was a ballet star. He was in the ballet.
Yeah, but he was an underwear model, too.
No, you're thinking of it. He did a skit on Saturday Night Live where he danced around his underwear.
That's because he did a commercial.
He did? I don't remember that.
Well, I think.
I'm not
an expert on underwear commercials.
Well, I'm not an expert on Ron Reagan Jr. either, so I don't know. He may have. Whatever he was going to do to embarrass his parents, I guess he did it, so I don't know.
Hey, Chris, since you're a friend of the family, let me tell you about a gift my parents gave
her.
What?
What was that? I didn't hear what you said.
Since you're a friend of the family,
yeah.
Let me tell you about a Christmas gift my parents gave our kids.
What's that?
We popped it in the DVD. It's Warner Brothers' Black Beauty.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the classic about the horse. And
sure.
1994 Family Entertainment. And in the middle of the movie, they got the evil people who hate animals and they torture them. And then there's the nice, wonderful people who love animals.
Right.
And the evil people have this barn where they torture the animals.
Yeah.
And in the barn is a huge sign, a big sign.
Yeah.
And it says, God is truth.
Oh.
Showing that the evil people are the Christians.
Oh. In the middle of the movie?
In the middle of the movie,
Wait,
Black
what year
Beauty.
Was the movie made?
1994. Major production.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, I know. We're evil.
That's Warner Brothers, right? Yeah. Just their hatred of God.
Right, right.
And Christianity, Jesus said, I am truth.
Right.
And Christians tell the world that there's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Right.
God is truth. It's a Christian statement. And they just have such a hatred. Did you hear the news that the guy from Law and Order died?
Yeah, Jerry Orbach, yeah.
Yeah. And Chris, last night, Cheryl and I were flipping a Fox News channel.
Yeah.
We have basic cable.
Right.
Which I'm almost embarrassed to admit. But
that's what I have. So,
yeah, basic cable.
But, okay.
But we watch the news.
Right.
We're flipping a Fox News channel, and we hear one line from Law and Order.
Which line was that?
Well, and by the way, we have never seen that show.
Yeah.
Not one episode, never planned to.
Right.
And here's the one line we saw while Jerry Orbach is dying.
Right.
A lawyer asked the witness, after your husband raped you, he then joined an anti-abortion group. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
and she said yes.
Yeah.
And that was it. That's all we heard. And we said, okay, that's Law and Order. Yeah.
Well, it's a very subtle thing. They do the same thing with the homosexuality. They bring out the fact that the evil one is the ones, the religious ones or the Christians are the evil ones
who oppose,
persecute the homosexual. Yeah. That's very subtle. That's done very subtly.
For 15 years in Hollywood on all the TV shows, sitcoms, the homosexual was the only truthful person on the whole cast.
Right.
Would be the homosexual.
Right.
The only one who was faithful to his partner, who never lied,
right,
who was loyal, honest, he was the homosexual.
Right.
But now the homosexual movement has made such headway that now the bad guy could be the homo.
Right. They've come a long way.
You come a long way, baby Bambino.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's even further promoting the homo agenda when the homosexual now could be the bad guy and they like it. That shows how – anyway, we're off topic of the earthquake.
Right. I know. We kind of went the full gamut here.
Yeah, we did.
But they do need our prayers over there, and I'm glad that we're – you know, our country is heading away in the support of that.
Amen.
But one of the things I did hear on the news, they were talking about as the people are retrieving the dead that – were swept out into the ocean. Now they're now coming back on shore, and one of the newscasters said they're laying there and their arms are outstretched as if saying, "Why, God?"
Oh, you heard that too?
Yeah, I heard that.
Well, I didn't hear that, but
yeah, I heard that on Fox News because that's all I hear. That's all I watch. I don't watch the other news channels.
Unbelievable! Did you hear? I mentioned that Reuters reported on a woman in India saying, why did God do this to us?
Right, right.
And the Red Cross, you know, they used to run commercials here, well, around the country, saying, how do you follow an act of God? With an act of man. Give to the Red Cross. In other words, God's the one that really blows it for everybody.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah,
the liberals at the Red Cross who give benefits to homosexual partners of employees, and the liberals at the Red Cross, they're the ones who can fix all God's problems.
Right. Well, that's like I said, they do. I was just thinking about this. I was talking to somebody about this. Is that when something terrible happens, it's God's fault.
Right.
When something miraculous happens, it's modern medicine, or it's
there, there was a well-known atheist who was in an interview, was angry at God.
Right.
And the interviewer said, "Why are you angry at God? You're an atheist. You don't believe in God."
Right.
He said, "Oh, I only believe in God for the bad stuff."
That's right. Yeah. That's most do.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you can live a wonderful life your entire life, live a wonderful life, and then sometimes you get a terminal illness and you blame God.
Yeah.
But you gave him no credit for anything else.
Yeah, right. And if they really were atheists, they wouldn't hate him so much.
Right, right. Well, that's,
you know, I don't hate Santa Claus.
Yeah, well, years ago I heard a definition of an atheist was someone who shakes his fist at the God who doesn't exist.
Right, very good. So. Thank you, Chris.
All right, Bob, we'll have a happy new year.
Chris, when you call, please call often. It's so wonderful to remember our growing up as Christians together.
Yeah, I spoke to
Rich Scardano.
I spoke to him a few days ago.
The owner of Scardano's restaurant.
Right, you might want to pray for him. Him and his wife were involved in a car accident.
Oh,
but they're okay, but they were really banged up pretty much. So.
Oh, we will call them. Thank you.
Yeah, keep them in prayer though.
God bless you and your family.
Take care. Say happy New Year to your family.
Will do. Okay, bye bye. What a neat guy, and what a joy to remember our young years in Christ. We worked at Scardano's restaurant in Hawthorne, New Jersey, and I got hired as a busboy. Was I a freshman in high school? Something like that. And Chris worked in the kitchen, and Anna was a waitress, and Rich Scardano, one of the three owners, had become a Christian all about the same time. And boy, was there a revival in that restaurant. I'd say all of the... You know, there were dozens of people who became Christians just by working at that restaurant over the next 10 years. It was really exciting. Let's go to the phones in Aurora, Colorado, 1-800-836-9278. That's 800-8-N-YARDS. Nathaniel, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, Bob. How you doing? God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
So much to say and so little time.
Go ahead.
I want to talk about the earthquake, but first of all, when you mentioned the word untouchables, is that when the light-skinned Indians do the dark-skinned Indians real bad?
Well, in Hinduism, there's a caste system, and those on the lowest caste, are they dark-skinned? I sort of forget.
Think so.
You think so? Yeah, you might be right. Uh-huh. And they will not eat with them. They will not touch them.
Wow.
It is extreme racism.
Okay. Now, Bob,
But
get me angry because Gandhi did all that against the Britons so they can get peace and turn around and do that to the dark-skinned ones. But that's okay about that. I mean, that's sad.
All right.
I want to talk about this judgment. Do you know about Prophet Hansen?
No.
He also traveled with Larry Bates, as you did. He prophesied that judgment was coming to Sri Lanka. Listen, Bob, God is a God of love. He's also a God of judgment.
Well,
if you read the book of Revelations, it is God who's going to pull out the seven veils and the seven trumpets.
Amen.
God is God, our loving God. He is love.
Wait.
But he made hell, and he made the lake of fire.
All right, amen.
But God does do judgment.
Amen, Nathaniel. You're absolutely right. He did it in the Bible. He's going to do it in Revelation. But the seven trumpets... And the seven bowls, the vials, they follow the seven seals, to mention the seven thunders. And Nathaniel, listen to me.
Loving God doing judgment, though.
Listen, but the seven seals haven't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not the seven trumpets. It's not the seven bowls.
I didn't say it is, Bob. I'm saying God's judgment.
All right,
Prophet
listen.
Hansen prophesied that
Nathaniel.
I think a big quake was coming that way.
Nathaniel.
He prophesied that.
Nathaniel. Okay, you have passion. Let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
God did things in the Bible that are very specific and intervened in human history. Because he did that, that doesn't mean that every time an earthquake happens or a building falls,
I didn't say that.
That it's God.
I'm not saying that.
I realize. So what I'm telling you is that because an earthquake happens, for Christians to say God did it, unless they know God did it, because when we read the Bible, we know. If you don't know God did it and you're attributing something to God that God, in fact, may despise, then what you're doing is misrepresenting God. And in the Bible, he gets angry at people who so casually misrepresent him.
Okay. You could be right. The Bible says God will do nothing except he tell his prophet, his servants, the prophets first.
All right. Now,
Prophet Hanson prophesies because
Nathaniel,
they, huh?
I don't know anything about that guy. And you mentioned his name two or three times, so
prophet
that's
Hanson.
Enough. So let me tell you my thought on these modern prophets generally. The ones I've looked into, the ones that I've met, the ones that have come and prophesied things for me and Bob and Yurt Live and friends of mine, they are all frauds. And here's what I tell them. I say, if you're going to give me a word from God, a prophecy, I want you to write it down, seal it, sign it, and give me permission to kill you if it doesn't come true.
Man.
Because in the Bible, when God authorized prophets in the Bible, and this is different from our superficial, fraudulent prophets today, God said if the prophet prophesies and he's wrong, he should be put to death.
Do you believe there
and
are,
listen, Nathaniel,
there are
Nathaniel,
two prophets today?
Nathaniel, today, when the prophets that the Christians claim are prophets, when they prophesy falsely, you know what we do?
What?
We forget it.
Do you believe there are true prophets
Nathaniel,
today? Yes or no?
Nathaniel, I'm the host, you're not.
Do you believe there are true prophets today? Yes or no?
Nathaniel.
This prophet prophesies about the buildings coming down in New York.
You're trying to
call Larry Bates.
You're trying to run before you can walk. Listen
call
to
Larry
me.
Bates, brother.
Do you agree with this or disagree?
With what?
When a supposed Christian prophet today prophesies something that's false, that does not come to pass, what we do as a Christian community is we forget it. Do you
some
agree with
probably.
That?
Some,
no, I'm
some
saying.
Of us, I don't know about
okay,
all of us.
I'm telling you all. I'm telling you, the entire Christian community.
You can't say that. You ain't God.
For all the supposed prophets. Because the reason I'm saying that is because my relationship on networks, radio and TV, with Christian televangelists, when there are prophets they work with who are obviously false prophets, they only look the other way. They are never exposed. And if God wanted there to be prophets today, he would have his same standard that if he's wrong, he should be put to death.
So you don't believe there are no prophets today? Is that what you're saying?
Do you believe that God says today,
man, you
Nathaniel,
way off. You way off.
Nathaniel, do you believe that the Christian church today that accepts prophets, do you believe that they implement God's command that a false prophet should be put to death? Yes or no?
That's an Old Testament. That was
okay.
An Old Testament.
We're out of time. And so were the prophets. When God was speaking through prophets, there was an accountability. God would not have a system of prophecy without accountability. So we have today cheap prophets and fraudulent prophets. Hey, we're out of time, and I didn't do my commercial, which means our prophets will be down this month. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, 431-5653, up to 12th grade. What a neat Christian school, 431-5653.